Hello, and welcome to Socially Savvy, broadcasting live here at Chateau San Michel. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, LB Duchess, with co-host Jason Rendon of Seattle Wine Exchange. We are also going to be having a very special guest host, Leslie Sobrocco, wine author, speaker, and creator of Thirsty Girl. We're actually here at her event, and she is rummaging around, so she's going to be popping over here in just a little bit to
sit with us. Here, Chateau St. Michelle, if you're in a hurry.
Well, they're just finishing the event.
Yes.
And, of course, they do their typical wine tours and stuff like that during the week. I don't know if you've not ever been to Chateau Saint-Michel. It was kind of like the hub, I guess you would call it the hub of wine country out here. And
yes,
with a building about as close to a castle as we have in Washington State.
Yeah, it is true. It's really cool. Have you ever done any of the concerts that are out here? It's really exciting to do it.
It is. Well, we're really excited today. We're going to be chatting about socially savvy holiday prep. We're going to be given socially acceptable and unacceptable, and of course, our socially savvy hint. So if you would like to be a part of the conversation, give us a call at 323-843-6090. If you have any opinions or you want to add anything to the conversation, we would love to take your call. Our show today is brought to you by Seattle Wine Exchange, Gunnar Nordstrom Galleries, and, of course, Chateau San Michel. Okay, so Jason, like we traditionally do, we get to start off our show with an on-air wine tasting. And
yep,
at Chateau, of course, you know it's going to be fabulous. So what are we drinking?
Well, we're doing a Riesling, right?
The Riesling? Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go.
We're doing a Riesling. She brought some over. You guys should be jealous. This is some excellent stuff. Nice and cold. Ah, she just showed up.
I love it. Leslie is here. We're going to give her a mic.
Right.
This will be fun. There you are, girl. You are live.
Hello. We're doing the Riesling.
Oh, my God. A Riesling is one of my favorite wines in the world. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we love so much about the show. We start every show off with on-air wine or adult beverage tastings.
Yes, adult beverage.
Adult beverage. So I guess, listeners, you know, not everybody is comfortable or has started wine tasting or going out there. So it kind of gives them an idea of what to go check out, what's fun, what's new. So sounds like you know a lot about this wine.
About the Eureka?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this has been a staple on our Thirsty Girl tour, which we've been traveling around the country for the last 2 years at various wine events and women's events and events of our own creation with thirstygirl.com. And Chateau St. Michel has been a strong supporter of ours and me of theirs. And I have been a Riesling fan for years and years and years. And so, these guys do Riesling unlike
anybody else.
I mean, obviously,
yeah,
Germany has some pretty amazing Rieslings as well, but, and you know, Australia and the Clare and Eden Valleys. And I'm a Riesling lover across the world. But I think the Eureka just captures that balance between acidity, sweetness, and freshness that is the description, really, of Riesling. It's like putting on that spring dress after winter wear, you know, and you're just invigorated.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
That's one thing. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, obviously, because mostly what we drink has been Washington wines. But with the temperatures and the way we do the wines here, they are just dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
dynamic.
Definitely dynamic.
So this is our first wine taste for the night. We have you, Leslie. We told everybody a little bit about you at the very beginning of the show, but give us a little bit more insight to the life of Leslie Sobrocco.
Well, the most important thing is I drink for a living.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, we kind of.
That's my job. You want to be my assistant?
Yeah, that's like, there's a room full of assistants here.
A room full of assistants.
I've kissed some of them already. You missed when I kissed a guy. I said, I ate some of the garlic over there. Were you here when I kissed? Nobody else raised their hand but this gentleman. And so, these things, here's, I'll tell you a little bit more about Leslie, but this is the typical Leslie thing, which is I never know what's going to pop out of my mouth, whether I'm on national television or, and I say to Kathy Lee and Hoda, it's hip to be screwed, or whether I, talking about screw caps, or I'm over here talking about this Lance's fabulous garlic, puree that he's doing. And you know what they say about garlic is once you, if you eat garlic, somebody else has to eat it if you're going to kiss him.
Yeah,
does anybody want to kiss me?
Oh, my God.
Mike, come over here. Come over here. I'm on the radio. Mike, get over here.
Mike's like, huh?
Hey, Mike.
So he was the only guy that raised his hand.
No, the only guy from the Bay Area that raised my hand.
That's right.
We're doing a live. Are we live?
We are live. We are broadcasting live with Blog Talk Radio.
All right. So Mike actually is from the Bay Area and has been a fan of the TV show that I do there on PBS. So you gallantly raised your hand and said, yes, I'll suffer through a kiss with Leslie.
Oh, so we both
were very garlicky.
It's true, and I bought a jar of the garlic, and it was delicious. It's delicious
stuff. Very good stuff.
And it was paired with the Chateau Saint-Michel Sauvignon Blanc. Mm. So,
yes, which is what we're going to be tasting next.
Pairing. So thank you that for illustrating how, you know, I typically believe that that well-behaved women don't make history. I try not to be well-behaved.
Well, I think the first time I ever saw you was the launch of Thirsty Girl. It was in downtown Seattle.
Yes. Yep.
And you came out with a saber and took the top of the head of a bottle off.
Of the champagne.
Of the champagne. And I have to tell you, I absolutely, if I'd been a man, I would have fallen in love with you. Because I just...
You didn't know who I was.
You know how I feel.
Well, I mean, I've been married for 27 years, so I'm a little bit, you know, still focused. But no, I love the dynamics. Especially up here, we have a tendency, I think the weather kind of makes everybody a little bit more reserved. And I'm of Latina descent, and so we're a little bit more crazy.
Oh, no, I'm definitely known for my wild streak.
I love it.
On PBS, I do the show on PBS, and I have to count. Bye, Mike. Thank you. Thank you, honey. I'll meet you in my hotel room later.
Ooh. You've got the room number and the key. We could get in some trouble.
Oh, yeah. It'd be bad. It'd be so bad.
Well, we are in the castle, you know, so.
Yes, we are. We're in the castle.
We're in the chateau. So, in terms of following my passion, I mean, getting to do what I love for a living, it started about professionally. Uh-huh. I want to say when I got my actual first paycheck. Probably about 15 or 16 years ago,
wow.
Back when I was barely of drinking age. I was in the writing world, the television world, and I was just a wine lover. I was living in the Bay Area and working harvest whenever I could and taking as many wine classes as I could. It was not, you know, in those days, you know, giving the air quotes, if people weren't taking master sommelier courses. It was hard. Even in the Bay Area, it was more challenging for me to find wine education classes, so I did it myself.
Yeah.
And I got hired initially by Microsoft for their online project called Sidewalk many years ago,
yep.
Which was content. And a friend of mine, who was a wine geek, hired me to do that. And I literally looked at him and said, what's the internet? You know, because it was AOL, in 1995. So I built some content for Microsoft and Sidewalk, and then the New York Times Company hired me to create their internet site about wine in 1998 to 2000. And then, so I've been very lucky.
Built up to this.
Built up to it. So I've been very, very lucky to be able to follow my passion and take my skill set as a communicator,
right.
Whether that's print, whether that's television, whether that's in person, whether that's, you know, consulting, and leverage my love of wine and spirits and drinks.
I absolutely adore that. I mean, mm-hmm. Everything. I will say, the event that we came here to last time you were in town, you paired up the wine with fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you just take it, because, you know, wine is so social. It is such a part of culture. I mean, it dates back all the way through the Bible. It dates back
absolutely
to everything.
Yeah.
Anything
thousands,
that was even
years
talked about that and it ever happened, wine was there.
Right.
Yeah.
If the wine could just speak, the story they could tell. And so I love how you bring that back in. You make it so very much a part of everything as an expression. And a lot of people don't always make those connections. I just think that's fabulous.
Well, because wine is such a sensual and such a connected,
yes.
And I hate to use the term product, but what else can you touch, feel, taste that you can actually go to a place and see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that with food, and I think that's why food is so, but it's, you know, to go to see where the sheep are milked to make, you know, beautiful, cheeses
and things. Passion about it. I like to say that, you know, people go, oh, you drink wine, you guys are drinking. It's like, no, wine is the act of socializing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's
absolutely
the reason why I have it around. Wine, food, and friends.
It was last night we had
a wonderful event over at her house.
I saw it on your Facebook page.
Oh, my God. It was
so much fun.
So
and
fun.
And we got together and we were drinking some good wine, eating some good food.
We all cooked together.
Yeah.
My son, who's in college, sent over friends.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it was interesting because we had such a big, huge gap of age bracket. You know, us
right
at 40s and then my son, the 21, 22, 23-year-olds. And typically you would think that they would party so very differently, but they don't.
No.
When they're brought in and they're so socialize and they're taught to socialize, they enjoy that more than just the regular
party. And that's
party,
that's the beauty of wine, is not only that it's a social connector, which we all love, it's such an intellectual
connector.
Yeah.
You know, we get to talk about it. We get to think about it. I mean, we obviously love drinking it. Come on, I don't want to geek out on people, but you do love to learn about it and to explore it and to talk about it.
Yeah, when we start talking about food and everything else, I come from a culinary background since I was 14 before I started selling wine. And so we're there and we're talking it, and it's really neat. Son's 15, right?
My youngest. Yes. No, my youngest is 14.
14. And he was really enthused. He wanted to learn making charbroiled oysters. So I was popping them open and, you know, cracking them. And he wanted to know how to do it. And I said, cool. It's like, let me show you how to do it the right way so you don't stab yourself. And he really was interested and really wanted to pay attention. And he did a few. So.
Right.
And the people, like I said, the age gap, they really didn't feel like there was an age gap.
No, everybody was all.
There is. Once you have food and, it's such a part of us.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
I mean, you need food to live.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully you can take it to the level where you begin to appreciate it, and then that's where you get to with wine and with spirits and with the stories behind it. And that's what always fascinated me and still fascinates me to this day.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's definitely a passion that we all share. And as we started doing this, the Blog Talk Radio, I jumped in with her after she'd been doing it for a while, that we started meeting people. We made winemakers, and we made wine producers. The one guy, he's a farmer, and he is so passionate about
the organic farmer, yes.
When you talk to
Philip Klein.
Yeah, Philip Klein. When you talk to him, he's just passionate about it, and he'll tell you, when I was out there, I was in the field, and I was at grapes, and da-da-da, and you could see it, and you could feel it, and, that's why when you listen, when you talk to you, it's like your passion's behind it. It comes out in the wine.
It does.
You know.
It absolutely does. People always come up to me after they've seen me speak or, meeting, go, you hate your job, don't you?
Oh, totally.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't like your job. Not at all. Well, here in the East Side, where I was just going to touch base on some of the local stuff, we just finished the whole Fashion Week. We had a local designer, Bree Seeley, who did her designs here and was part of our Fashion Week. She went over to Phoenix. She won Designer of the Year over in Phoenix.
Fantastic.
We're going to have her on the show on the 29th. But I was really interested this last few weeks of meeting these fabulous people like you. Chef Andre, who is Janet Jackson's chef, and Kathy Ireland. He was in town for the Seattle East Side Woman Show. Alexa.
So you mentioned fashion.
Yeah.
And that's, you asked me about this last time.
Yes.
Fashion. And my first book, Wine for Women, I wrote looking at, I compared wine to fashion. I called it Building the Essential Wine Wardrobe.
I remember that because you had a little fashion show and you partnered it up.
I did. I said, and the original concept for that book, and it was called Wine for Women. I love the book still to this day. I remember it was the first book that came out that actually targeted women, because women are the majority of wine consumers in this country, and it was meant really to empower and to inform, and you learn a ton. Rema George, the book, Best Wine Book of the Year Award, when it came out, you learn a ton about wine from this. But I always found that I talked about wine in stylistic terms. This is light and elegant. This is rich and full and creamy and I almost compared it to the way you feel when you pick up
the textures
of clothing.
Yeah.
So you pick up a thick cashmere scarf, and that smoothness just envelops you like a great Merlot. If you're drinking Chateau Petrus, true Merlot, that's just amazing, like you get in Washington State, you'll get that cashmere-like feel. And that was the birth of sort of this idea of building the essential wine wardrobe. And I think that puts the jargon of wine into context for people.
Yeah, people get a better understanding instead of going, this Cabernet tastes like a little barnyard. And people look at you like, what?
Really?
And the first time I heard barnyard, I was like, huh? But then when they walked me through it, it did. It was like my brain could grab that.
But
concept.
You have to have some relevant touch point. I mean, I've paired wine and fancy cars. I did an event where I had Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Porsches. And I had a yellow Porsche, and I paired German Riesling and sushi.
Oh, my God.
I had an Aston Martin convertible, and I did Bollinger Champagne and...
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite.
You can always connect wine to something else.
Yes.
Well,
it's like the same. It's like I always, joke about it. There are a couple sessions ago, I was talking about hot dogs and wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you're way back on wine and meat.
Hot dogs, are you kidding?
I drink sparkling with almost everything.
I have the tattoo on my leg. You missed the story about my tattoo on my leg.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you need to tell us. No, tell us about the tattoo, and then you guys need to tell us about the second wine.
Oh, the next wine, are we moving to the next wine?
We're going to. No,
I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if you guys can see it under my tights here, but I have a
it's
hard to see.
Barely.
I have a glass of rosé bubbles on the back of my leg. It's big. And I did it on a TV show called L.A. Ink. Right before I went off air at the beginning of last year. And so I had been thinking about getting a tattoo for years. And,
I'm not 20,
so I'm not a few criteria to go with. I'm not 50 either, so we're right in between. And I said, okay, the three things I was going to do was have it done by a great tattoo artist.
Yes.
Check.
Great
when point. I went on LA.
Check,
right?
Yes.
I knew I wanted rosé bubbles because that's the thing I love the most in the wine world. And I knew I wanted a place that you could cover up if you wanted to, which I show off quite a bit, though, but I can cover it up. It's on the back of my calf. And then in a place that wouldn't sag.
Oh, no, that's a good one. See, I've been toying with the idea of one. I'm thinking my ankle.
Yeah, ankle would work. And then I was looking at it, so I got a glass. It's this fabulous flute of rosé bubbles on the back of my leg with all this accoutrements because it was done on television. And so I've got this beautiful tattoo. And somebody said to me, well, you know, even if it does sag, it'll just turn from a flute into a glass of rosé. And I went, there you go.
That is fabulous.
Another woman said to me recently, she looks at it, she goes, and even if it starts to really sag, it'll just be a snifter. So you're all
Oh, my gosh. It's a win-win no matter what.
You know, we've got listeners out there Googling for that video. They're like, oh, we got to see him.
I'll show you some pictures of it. It's a pretty tattoo.
I love it. Well, and we're going to link the show on for you so that anybody can listen to it that wants to.
Fantastic.
And on your website, they probably, or on your Facebook, they could probably check out that episode.
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, thirstygirl.com. Everything's on thirstygirl.com.
I love that.
Runs right now on LA Inc. because they're starting the new season.
Yeah. I saw that they're going to come up. I haven't ever watched it yet. I don't watch much TV. I don't have much time.
I don't either. I'm on it.
I know. That's funny.
But it's kind of crazy to think that these are contestants doing ink on someone's arm, and I hate to be like, oh, I misspelled that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, that'd be a little scary.
These guys are pros, though. Oh yeah.
Pros.
Okay, so tell us about this. So we did the Riesling, and then now it's the Seven Hills de Blanc.
Chardonnay.
Sure. No, we're doing it. Okay, I'm lost. That's okay. I'm just going to drink.
Hang on. I have technical sheets. Hang on.
It smells delicious.
Is this the horse Seven Hills?
Yes.
Okay.
We are professionals. We have cheat sheets.
I think we're only going to do three of them because everybody else has been drinking. We don't want to drink ourselves right into the table.
All right. I think this is the Horse Heaven Hills Chardonnay.
It's delightful. It's very crisp.
And do you know, I could be wrong on this, but I remember reading about Horse Heaven Hills Vineyard, the name of Horse Heaven Hills, that horses... Basically, wild horses are roaming around the vineyards.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
I'm sorry. That's the Sauvignon Blanc. You're right. There it is. This is the Cold Creek.
Cold Creek.
Cold Creek Chardonnay.
So we're drinking the Cold Creek. It's what I like about it, and everybody knows that I'm not a big, huge, avid white wine drinker. At least I haven't been. It's funny. I've been saying that now for 6 months, and I find out that I'm reviewing my shows, and I'm drinking a lot of white wine, so maybe I'm more avid than I thought I was. But this is nice, crisp, clean. It doesn't have a whole lot of sweetness to it, which for particular events and pairing with certain kinds of foods, you really don't want that heavy sweet on the front. This is gorgeous.
It is beautiful. It's a 2009 Cold Creek. And to me, it's that almost Chablis-esque crispness to it.
Yes.
It has freshness, brightness, a little roundness from the oak character.
Yes.
So it would please really people who like kind of a bigger buttery Chardonnay. It would be on the lean side for them. But for those people who like on oak styles or, you know, lightly oak styles, it would be on the rich side for them. So it really falls nicely in the middle.
If I understand it right, it was in the August, so your Chateau St. Michel, if you were a member of their wine club, it was in their August, I believe.
Oh, in their August. Okay.
Their August shipment. They do 4 shipments per year. So if you guys are... Like wine clubs, Chateau St. Michel is a wonderful wine club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they'll be able to, if for some reason they're not being able to grab it, they can go to your event because your event lists all the wines that we're tasting today.
It's a beautiful wine.
We're tasting 3 of the 6 wines that were served today at your event here at Chateau St. Michel.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to touch base a little bit on our topic tonight, which is socially savvy holiday prep. We've got the holidays coming up. And,
oh, my God. Really?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
Being socially savvy means a lot of different things. You know, the big one, of course, is making sure that people are comfortable around you when you're out publicly.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the bottom line for it. So we wanted to give you guys some ideas, some hints on how to have that happen, what to be thinking about to make that happen. So my first socially savvy hint is realize that department stores, their makeup departments, aren't there for just for you to come and get free makeovers. You need to plan ahead. You need to have an idea of what you want. If you want a professional makeup, you need to go and schedule it somewhere. They're not going to have time for you.
No.
So this is me trying to be very, very nice and saying, okay, all you freebie people out there, just because you bought a lipstick in 1995 doesn't mean that they can take time with their salespeople off the floor to go ahead and do your makeup for your holidays. So plan ahead. You know, if you need to replenish makeup, that is a great opportunity. Get new ideas. Even if you're not buying the makeup they're putting on you, meaning the colors they're putting on you, but be aware, be considerate, because the holidays get really stressful for everybody. Don't make other people miserable.
Right. And I also add something to that for those guys out there that have facial blemishes or all of a sudden have a pimple. They've got great little bottles of cover-up, little ones, that they, and the lady will show you for those that don't put on makeup.
Oh, concealer,
guys.
Yeah.
Concealers, right. For those guys that don't wear makeup, don't worry, it's not that hard. They'll show you how to do it, so that way when you go to your event that night,
you don't have a
big red thing on the side. They'll show you that. And it's not too expensive, and it'll save your date, especially if you're single.
Yeah. Yeah. And my idea. Well, and we started over at Nordstrom. I'm a stylist, and so I started doing men's seminars where, like, we just did an art shaving event where we focused on the whole shaving thing. But going through the holidays, we'll do these little seminars where we'll talk to men about the difference between makeup and, you know, just making sure that you're comfortable when you're going out. Just because you put concealer on doesn't mean you're wearing makeup per se. You know, over in Europe, it's like not a big deal, but over here, we're a little bit different about things. You guys have any?
I think you look actually really good with some eyeshadow.
Mascara.
Eyeliner, like Steven Tyler
lashes.
Some of those Steven Tyler.
Yeah. Halloween. Actually,
little Aerosmith. Go little Aerosmith on me.
I know, we're still trying to figure out our Halloween. We've got,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. What about you, Jason? Any socially savvy hints?
For preparing
for the holidays?
Oh, yeah, I like to kind of clean the house up a little bit, move stuff out of the way so we invite friends over. And then if I'm usually cook, so I usually think ahead. I'll make stock, I'll make, you know, the basics, cocktail sauce.
That's a great idea.
I make a lot of it. And then I have a basket to go. So, like, last night we were over at LB's house, and I have a little crate that I bring, and I have my knife set, and I have...
He brought his whole kitchen.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And little things, because, you know, friends, you know, don't take offense. They're like, oh, because it's nothing worse than going to a friend's house. Hey, let's make that. Oh, do you have garlic? No. Do you have onions? No. It's okay to put it in a little crate and go with it. You know.
Well, and I kind of do that prep, too. Because, you know, during the holidays, you're going over to people's house. They're coming over. You've got gifts. You've got
gifts
that your husband's, you know, blah, 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 right?
Box,
so
counter,
I go out and I buy a box, a case, a 12-pack of bubbles.
Yeah.
It can be any kind of champagne. It can be sparkling wine.
That's a great
I got to tell you, the Chateau St. Michel rosé that you had tonight.
Awesome.
Unbelievable wine.
Yes.
Fabulous wine. So go get yourself a case of champagne or a case of sparkling wine.
Yep,
whichever one you prefer, whatever your budget allows, and then pack up in beautiful little packages gourmet nuts. Like, I like to do my own gourmet nuts, because nuts and salt and bubbles is the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
I do gourmet potato chips sometimes. I'll do potato chips if I have time, and to do fresh things, I'll do yams, and I'll do, you know, all sorts of vegetable chips and with sea salt and chopped oil.
Pop chips would be fabulous.
Anything like that. But do some, you know, package up some nut little things that you can just drape over the bottle.
Yep.
And voila, you have a gift that you can...
A last minute gift.
You can don't have the bag. You know, bags are getting really expensive now, which is really wild. You know, you have this fancy-ass bag if you're on a budget.
Fancy ribbon.
Ribbon are the little ones where you take off the little sticker and you go, boop, there you go.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
I mean,
I love that.
It's okay, because nine times out of ten when you go to a house party, they're not going to go, you didn't buy that $20 bag. Oh, I'm so
No, but you can get the sticker. You can take, again, a little plastic. You do the little, go to the party store and get those little cheap little 19-cent bags. Put the nuts in there and stick it on the bottle. And it's fabulous. It's done.
Well, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, but that's what I love that, because then you're ready for anything.
Birthday.
Nobody doesn't like bubbles during the holidays.
No.
Oh
my gosh.
And if you stay over the morning...
Isn't that a double negative? Food. Nobody doesn't. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, well, you know. We get to stay and do whatever we want. Okay, so our topic, socially savvy prep. With the holidays just around the corner, you find yourself... do you find yourself ready, or are you scrambling to make it happen? Here's some great tips to help you through the holiday event so that you feel better and present your best. One of the things we were just talking about, being prepared, I have an emergency outfit.
throughout the holidays. I put an emergency bag in the car for the last minute. Like, you didn't read all your invitations right, and, oh, my gosh, you really need to be at this event. You're coming off of work. Okay, we're talking about those like me who are flying by the seat of the pants. Don't look at me like that.
No, it's also good for guys. Guys put an extra shirt in their
bag. Oh, I thought you were looking at me going, I'm always organized. What's wrong with you, LB?
No. We're, you know, always bringing an extra shirt.
Yeah, so I always suggest put something sparkly, a nice, something that's not going to, that you don't have to worry about being ironed. Have something sparkly, a jacket and a fun skirt. I always have extra hosiery in the car, and I always have a white eyeliner.
I have breath mints in the car.
Oh,
I'm a victim.
Yeah,
it tastes good and smells good.
Well, see, if you go over to, like, Nordstrom's, they can give you some samples.
Oh, nice.
And I put them in there. I don't, you know, I bought the perfume, but you can
save
samples.
Yep.
Put it in your pocket. It's like, oh, because you never know. You're like, oh.
Of course.
Okay,
see, I just have the emergency flask.
Oh, I mean, I'm not flask.
I like your bottle.
I always have, I'm like you. I always have bubbly or 2 to 3 bottles of wine in the back of my car.
Yeah.
Because I never know where I'm going to be or what's going to happen. Try to be prepared. Extra pair of hosiery. Always, 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 if you're wearing hosiery.
Yeah, because I just ran
these.
Do you see
exactly.
that? I just put my finger on that. And boom.
Deodorant.
Don't mess with it.
Just leave it alone.
There's, I always make sure I have deodorant. And they've got these single-use toothbrushes where the toothpaste is already on there. I throw two of those in my glove compartment, my glove box, and for an emergency, it's like, yeah, I'm good to go. Now I'm not going to kill anybody with, you know, monster brush.
Another wine tasting, you know, and you got to, like, quickly, oh, I'm going to meet people. It's like, crack it open. Yeah, I'm going to refresh.
Now, did you know that both white pencil liner and brown liquid liner are useful for both men and women?
I did not know
as
that.
An emergency. White eyeliner has been used since the 20s for putting on the inside.
No, my makeup artist, actually, I do a TV show on TBS. She does
that
every single time.
Because
it
intenses the color of the eye. Mm-hmm. It also reduces any redness around the eye, and it reflects into the eye. So any redness that's going on the white part of your eye, it will kind of negate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that both men and women can do that. The other one is brown liquid liner. This is a trick if you, like what you were saying.
I think I have both of them in my purse.
See, that's fabulous, because if you all of a sudden get breakout and you've got that little, if you can get it expelled, you still have that little bump, you take the liquid brown liner and at the very head of where it was, you put a little dot and you press a little powder, and now you've turned it into a mole instead of a zit.
Yep.
How cute is that?
So then you look fabulous in pictures.
I'm kind of weird, but...
Hey, you know,
kind of weird. I'm
sorry. I'm getting like it all the time, and it's so funny. You know.
Well, what happens if you have a lot, like a little dot, 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 like, can I, you know?
Okay, well then, you know, no, you don't want to.
Then you look like Kat Von D that has a tattoo on her face.
Yeah, that would be a little bit strange. That would be.
Have some girl come with you. Can I connect the dots?
Well, I'm sorry, I got a zip.
Yeah, sorry. I had a run-in with chocolate, and it didn't go so well for me.
Oh, sorry. Stress.
Okay. Events. RSVP.
Yeah.
I know that our culture has... See, yes.
That's what it means.
People have such a difficult time with this. And what I'm telling you is events are expensive. Be courteous to the event, the person who's throwing on the event. There is a yes, no, and a maybe. A maybe is completely acceptable. Completely. Because then they can plan for it.
That's why I like Evite, because
yes,
you can do that.
You can
but
do that.
It's also okay to say no.
It's also
you're
okay
not
to say no.
Friendship. I know how many times I had people putting on events. I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And then I'm like, well, where the hell are they?
Well, and then you're counting on them. And
yeah.
You're,
it's
yeah.
Okay
and
then
you planned for it with wine and with.
Driving you nuts.
Yeah, right.
The only thing I say with a maybe is 48 hours before the event, if you at all possibly can update it, you know, it's a yes or no. If you can't, if you're truly a maybe, and maybe, you know, I'm gonna try to make it in on my way from work, maybe leave them a little note, so telling them why it's a maybe, so again that they can plan. This is just me, but proper attire. Most people will put in their invite,
oh, yes.
You know, the kind of attire that they would like. Holiday events and many others, they're asking for specific attire because they're trying to create a certain ambiance. They want everybody to know what's expected. They want everybody to kind of feel inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk in with attire that doesn't follow suit, not only do you stand out, but in a... You
like
may
black
not,
always works.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. And if you're not thinking, you may not think about it this way, but that's like a backhand to the host, especially if there's somebody close to you, because I've heard more times than I can count, oh, well, I'm their friend, it's not a big deal. So you really don't care about your friend and that this is why they said this.
Mm-hmm.
So be respectful and to the best of your ability.
Don't wear a thong.
Don't wear a thong.
No.
We don't need to see anything.
Especially holiday parties. Wear your costume.
Wait, oh my gosh.
I've gone to different
Vampira.
Yes.
Well, and so if you don't have a lot of choices for a Halloween costume and you want to go to a Halloween costume party, all you have to do is like throw a hat on and some funky jewelry.
Part of it. Be
I
active.
Mean, you can. There's so many little things that you can do, you know, to make a costume or make mm-hmm. something work from home. So.
Yeah, you don't have to go and get the fancy, you know, spend $400 to get something.
Or $20,000.
Although the best costume I ever bought wasn't really a costume. I went 2.5 years ago now, two years ago, to Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh,
I bought a dirndl, the real 500-euro dirndl suit up, you know, with the, well, I mean, I got enough here anyway, but I'm seriously, like, Gucci mama. That was a gorgeous thing, and I turn it into, so every year it's my Halloween costume.
I'm going to look for those little, I'm going to look for those pictures. That sounds cute.
Oh, there are plenty of those circulating on the Internet.
Empty-handed.
Which you cannot be, because I want to drink
you
one.
You cannot be. We're gonna drink the next one.
This is the Indian Wells Red Blend, the Chateau Saint Michel 2010 Indian Wells Red Blend from Columbia Valley, which is a blend of Merlot primarily, with Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, Grenache, Garnacha, Malbec, Senzo, and Mourvèdre.
Yes.
Kitchen sink.
Yes. And
this
that
is
also in the winter box of Chateau
yes,
Saint Michel.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Fabulous.
I know about wine here. I love Chateau Saint Michel. It was one of my favorite places to be.
This was
beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are in the neighborhood, this is an amazing
yeah.
place to visit.
But my husband and I, for our 1-year anniversary, came wine tasting here. It was our first wine taste ever. We bought our anniversary glasses here. It has a real near and dear place because that was 22 years ago.
Well, they've set the record for doing things like they set the. I like to believe that they set the trend for outside concerts.
They did.
They set the trend
oh, yes.
for picnics. They set the trend for a lot of things that's been done in the industry.
Well, they're the anchor for everything that we do here in Washington.
And if I remember right, they also a couple of years ago, the owner he helped some of the trout victims with their other grapes. He helped mm-hmm. source some of the grapes for them.
Oh yes,
Chateau Saint Michel leads. And when you look at Washington wine, and I'm a huge fan of Washington wine, have been mm-hmm. for more than a decade. Spoken at Taste Washington numerous times. Have visited here, really, if not every year, every other year. And have followed the progression and the quality of Washington wine.
Yeah.
Chateau Saint Michel has been such an incredible supporter.
Yeah.
If you look at California wine and what Robert Mondavi has done, you know, or did over the years, his idea was to put California wine first, then Napa Valley, then Robert Mondavi. That was his idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to succeed if people know about Napa Valley and they know about California. At a time in the 60s and the 70s that people didn't know about that. And
right.
Ted Basil and the entire Chateau Saint Michel.
They were all part.
And
yep.
you know, these guys have had that sort of
influence.
Help everybody to bring Washington wine to the forefront.
Washington wine is doing the same thing you know, other people are doing. I've sat in and talked to other people, and they're like, oh, hey, Jack, you know, can I borrow your truck so I can do this, that, and the other? They're like, oh, sure, go grab it. It's really neat. Any other industry is not like that.
No, and what I find really unique to Washington is, you know, you've got the chateaus that have been such a forefront. You've got the Lowells, Greg and Stacy,
fabulous,
just amazing in kind of creating that tradition of what the wine industry is going to be, reaching out, you know, making their
own.
So
many fantastic producers in America, Dunham,
Prosser, Yakima, and you go up as far as Oroville and
Charles Smith.
Oh my gosh,
cool.
That's
kind of neat. So most wine tasting,
fun.
You guys haven't been out to a lot of, I always talk about the story. It's like, you know, we're tasting, and everybody's like quiet, and do-do-do-do-do, and this is our Chateau so-and-so, do-do-do-do-do, and you see this white barn with a K. You know, what the hell is that? So you go out there,
white barn with a K.
You know, there's rock music playing, they're screaming, you know, and you go up there.
Your untraditional wine tasting room.
Right, and they're screaming at you, this is a Syrah, 100%, you'll like it. That's it. They don't get into the velvety. No, they just like to
no,
drink
they
it.
Just drink it, and you're going to love it.
But you have such a diverse, you know, such an array, such a diverse mm-hmm. grouping of producers in Washington State, from boutique, tiny producers to large, that you really get a sample of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that I could, in my lifetime, sample all of them, which makes me sad.
Don't be sad. Be happy.
I'm just going to die trying.
Think of the future.
Actually, if I live till I'm 94, I could probably come real close.
I'm actually 72. You never know.
And that's an interesting thing. There were some studies shown that wine, women who drink red wine, it assists in weight loss because of how it metabolizes the fatty foods. Yes, and I actually witnessed this. I couldn't figure out. I was drinking a lot of red wine and couldn't figure out why I was still losing weight. And I saw that study. I was like, yes.
Said it.
It's true.
Gotta love it.
I'm not losing any, but, you know. I'm having steady.
Yeah, right there.
Some other helpful holiday preparedness ideas. Do you get lost often? Are you like me where I'm directionally dysfunctional? I can't remember where I parked my car.
I'm very dysfunctional, but I have a Garmin and, or, you know,
the GPSs are fabulous.
It's called cartographically challenged.
Directionally dysfunctional is the term that I can remember.
Or drunk.
Drunk works. But yeah, I'm not usually trying to find my car drunk, which is a good thing. My husband dragged me there. But if you do, when you're running all over the place for the holidays, I found a little trick. With my phone, I take a picture of my car with the stall number and the level behind it.
I do that when I go to the airport because I travel so much.
You forget where you are.
And I have an app.
I love it.
Because I'm a...
You're an app girl.
I'm an executive platinum on American. So they have an app that you can actually, you know, you check your flights and then it allows you to take a picture of your parking stall.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think that's fabulous.
That's awesome.
Now, for those of us who are throwing events, here's some little things that you can do to help out your guests. Special circumstances. Remember, if you live out somewhere like my house where you have a steep hill that people may have to walk down, if you have soft ground that their heels, their 4-inch heels are going to sink, put in an invitation. Let them know so they can be prepared, so the gentlemen can maybe drop the girls off at the front and then go and park their car so the women aren't trying to walk, you know, 10 miles in 4-inch heels. Any information you can give when you're dealing with something that's not easily accessible, maybe there's not a whole lot of parking, go ahead and...
And for the guys with the heels.
Well, with the kiss heels, you know. Yeah, you want to plan ahead.
Yeah.
Bring some flats, change the front door. So any information you can give is always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Limited parking, such as park carpools.
Yep, we've done it.
We do that a lot from Bellevue, particularly on this
And
side.
Also, you know, if you think you're going to go to a friend and live that far out, you know, ask them and say, hey, do you mind if you bring a stay over bag? Because, you know, we'll be drinking wine and all that. And especially when you got to drive a long way. I mean, it's one thing freeway driving.
Never drink and drive.
Never. Yeah.
I've got 3 beds. If you can't fit there, there's a floor. There's, you know,
that's
floor.
That's really good. Especially, is that way you don't have to, like, it's 8. I got to go.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I mean, you have to have your passport to get to my house. I live out in Coronation, so, you know.
Yeah.
We always joke about that. Let people know. Bad lighting. Is it a tough street to find? Make sure that...
I thought you meant for pictures and things.
Well, sure bad lighting. That's
true. Oh, my God. We all look at bad lighting. Forgot.
Tricky directions. Make sure there's someone that can answer questions for people who are trying to drive in, if they're getting confused or it's a tricky place. On the flip side of that, if you're going to an event, be prepared. Know exactly where you're going because a lot of times the host is hosting. They're not going to pick up their phone. So it kind of, you know, either side, try to be aware of it, but... I would say plenty of them. Mr. Jason.
What?
Pop chips.
I like pop chips.
We love pop chips.
Are good.
Pop chicks or pop chips?
Pop chips.
What did you say?
No, pop chips. Never fry. Never
fried. He said pop chicks. He did. He said it.
Never fried.
Never fried.
I'm not that. Yes. I've not been drinking. I can hear that.
Oh. Have you tried pop chips?
I have tried pop chips, and I do love them because they're low-cal, and they're often in many mini bars in the hotels,
yes,
which I know very well.
And they have corn chips now, which we're waiting to try.
And by the way, pop chips with the sparkling brut rosé. Domaine Saint-Michel.
It would be amazing.
Love pop chips. They've been a sponsor of us for a while. Very good. I like their – my all-time favorite is still the –
My fans love pop chips.
My thighs, my taste buds, my everything. And they're actually a really nice presentation to take to a party because they're round so that you can dip them in anything.
Yes. They don't get that foggy at all.
Including your wine.
Including your wine.
I don't know about that.
La, la, la. Whatever the whole Catholic thing is. They remind me of the
Catholic.
I had a moment. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, I'm not Catholic.
Neither am I. I just happened to... go into a
It'd be kind of funny, though. Kind of switch them out and not tell nobody. You'd be like,
a little spice.
Father, those were a little spicy today.
Yeah, a little spicy your Sunday morning. Okay, my favorite part of the show. I love the socially acceptable and unacceptable because, well, blunt words.
Blonde works best?
Blonde.
No.
Blonde works best. We start off the show with the hints.
I can't hear it tonight.
No, it's okay. We start off the show with the hints because, you know, we're trying to be polite and everything.
Yeah.
And then we get into the show and then we go straight for blunt.
Okay.
Acceptable and unacceptable. So these are just great tips, and whatever you think of, just give us your information, your ideas. My socially acceptable tip for this week is it is socially acceptable to bring a host gift to any event.
Yes.
And I say that because I think a lot of people, there's a lot of...
It might vote yes or no.
You can say whatever you... No, you can say whatever you want. And this is just my... Each one of us will be able to give one of our own favorite. Socially acceptable is one of those things that people are like, well, I've thought about it, or I wasn't quite sure. Is that
okay? Absolutely. Bring a gift, of course.
Yeah.
Always.
And it's a show of appreciation. It's a show of the time and energy they put in, and the invitation that they've extended.
I can't tell you how many people don't ever bring me a gift when I do.
Oh,
party.
My gosh. Tons.
No,
tons.
I'm one of those.
Really?
I bring something. You know, I'm one of those. I have my collection of things. But
right.
I'll look at the person's personality. So
mm-hmm.
I know what I'll bring to LB. I know what I'll, you know, it's like, oh, I'll bring somebody else. It's like, this.
All right, Jason, what would you bring to me?
I'll bring you.
Hey. Come on.
Speaking of gifts.
It's not going to be wine.
Woohoo.
How about you?
I sure did. I thought they were dirty gifts. Oh, my God.
Well,
I'd kiss you right now, except I ate a lot of garlic. And
it's
you?
Packed full of all kinds
of things. It is not. I love you.
Oh, my God.
Look at that pot of candy.
See, and I wanted to do this on air because this is the epitome of what happens when you bring
a
gift.
People, this makes me happy. I can't even tell you how happy this makes me.
So, bring people gifts. It makes them happy.
Look at that super goop. Wow.
This is
telling you right now. I'm in love with this. Thank you, Abby. I love it. And wee tiny baby lip gloss.
Yes, little.
You know, honestly, I always wear lip gloss. I have big lips, and so I never wear lipstick.
They're not really. They're nice. They're nice lips.
Well, they're not overly large, but they're not.
They're present and accounted for.
They're present and accounted for. So I always have worn lip gloss. I've never worn, or clear lips. I've never worn lipstick.
And it's funny because I think a lot of people don't think about giving gifts because it's not their forte, but when you want to show appreciation for something, it can be something silly and little.
Look at
but
that.
It makes people
don't
feel
bother me. I'm opening my gift. It's like that commercial, you know, where they're eating.
She's having way too much
fun. Moment. Okay.
So do you think what's socially acceptable?
It's socially acceptable to take your buddy who's had a little too much to drink, who's hitting on a girl that's obviously not really interested, and say, dude, chill out.
Yeah.
And that's totally socially acceptable.
Fabulous.
Because I ran into somebody's son who was helping their friend who was a little too much under the weather, so to speak, and take him aside, didn't embarrass him, didn't say you're being a jerk, to say, hey, dude.
Yeah,
know.
That's nice. Bring him off to the side.
Yeah. That was great. I think it's totally socially acceptable to do that because, you know, some people get it. You know, you drink a little too much, you know, and a little too friendly, and it's okay to help your friend out because when they come back to the world, they'll go, oh, did I do that?
What did I do?
Oh, God, I'm embarrassed. Yeah.
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 Right. What about you? What's something that you think that people kind of think, well, maybe, maybe not? What's an
acceptable? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. I think it's, I actually think it's socially acceptable. We're doing acceptable, right?
Yep.
Not unacceptable.
Yep.
I think it's socially acceptable to, and I'm to say you don't like something or you're
I love that.
You know, I actually hosted dinner the other night.
Uh-huh.
And we had a my mother who lives nearby has a exchange student visiting from France. And my oldest sister lives in France. And anyway, this young girl, she's 20 years old, and she's fantastic. And she looked at me, and she was so embarrassed, and she said, you know, I don't like couscous. I made couscous.
Oh.
And she was just horrified that she didn't. And I said, you don't have to eat it. It's okay.
You know,
really,
I love that.
It's all fine.
Right.
It's just fine. Don't eat it. You know, eat some other things.
That.
So I think it's socially acceptable to say, oh, thank you, but no, you know. I mean,
no, I think that's very
you don't always have to accept everything that's shoving in your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, thank you. It's cool. You know, you don't have to be mean about it.
No.
You can be,
it's okay to say.
It's okay.
And on the flip side, if somebody says something like that, whatever your culture, let it be.
Yes.
Don't take it as an insult. Just, maybe they have an allergy.
What do you mean you don't eat meat? That's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
We make lamb.
We make lamb.
We make lamb.
I love that.
We make lamb.
That's a great movie.
That is so much. That was my life growing up. That is, and I, if you're not Greek, I have to tell you, that is so very spot on to how Greek families
are.
Oh, my God.
My grandpa yelling at each other. Did you click the right game? Click the right
My husband is very loud. He's Italian, and my hence the last name is Brocco, and he has a T-shirt that says, I'm not yelling, I'm just Italian.
I love that. Okay, so now my favorite, socially unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
It is completely.
Totally. 100%.
Unacceptable.
To?
Ignore a tie request for holiday events.
You're really on that.
I am on that.
A tie?
A tire.
Oh, yes. Okay.
To ignore a tire request.
I think then tie, like somebody, you,
no.
We must wear a tie.
Must wear a tie.
Okay.
No.
Or a tire, like a tire of a car.
To me, and we know we touched base on it earlier, they're not just throwing it out there because. They're not trying to make you uncomfortable. At no point when they extend an invitation to you with an attire request is it about you, because let's get to the bottom of the line here. This event is about them. They're putting it on. They're extending the invitation to you, the least you could do.
Well, it goes the opposite, too.
It's
we, this is kind of a thing that we've talked about on the show. It's one thing that, you know, wear proper dress and whatnot. We've had people come.
By the way, we all look nice tonight.
We look fabulous. I love your sparkle hose. Sorry,
which I just ran. Which I just ran.
You're 0 to 10 naked in 1.5 bottles.
Oh, I forgot about my T-shirt.
Interesting.
There's a naked in 1.5 bottles.
But we've actually had some people come to one of our shows that were a little too short, which is, you know, for us guys, like, well, that looks nice, but at the show, we're doing
totally
unacceptable.
Yeah. So be aware. It's a slap in the face. And you don't want to do that. I mean, somebody's taken the time to extend an invitation. I think people really need to take a look at invitations as not just a solicitation. It's these are people who want to share something with you. This isn't, it's not contrite. This is not, you need to give it the respect that it's due. If somebody is inviting you, it's like when you invited me to come tonight, I was like, I was so honored. And it's like, you know, I'm sitting there and it's like, okay, what am I going to wear? I want to look nice, you know, da, da, da. I think everybody needs to kind of have that attitude. And look at things from a very positive point of view.
Definitely.
What about you? What's your unacceptable this week?
Well, since we're doing holiday events, we're starting to go into that season. You know, everybody do that. It's socially unacceptable to smoke in someone's house.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is.
Because, or smoke in the balcony. It's better to ask and say, hey, do you mind if I smoke in your balcony? Because there's some people who are like, no, smoke and get some, you know, go outside.
Well, I'm allergic to it. I can cigar smoke. I'm fine with. But cigarettes, I am allergic to it.
Yeah, and, sure,
and you don't know that.
There's a lot of times I go into people's houses and you look on the balcony and you're like,
that's all over the place.
Tray? You know, or they smoke it and then they toss it out.
Oh, yeah, start a forest fire.
Yeah. It's like, come on, really? Where are you? Sixth grade? No, throw it away, you know?
Well, I'm going to go back to a point that you said before, which is, and I'm really casual when we entertain. I mean, we entertain a lot. We're sort of the house in the neighborhood that everybody comes over to. And, you know, we do a lot of entertaining. But if you're doing more of a party where you've actually sent out invitations and you go, is if you're going to RSVP, and I do this even professionally because it really bothers me when people don't show up to an event that they've RSVP'd.
Oh, yeah.
Or they don't let you know.
My biggest
even
peeve.
If they don't, I mean, I understand. Stuff comes up. You can't
make it.
It doesn't matter. But let somebody know because they're planning. They're buying food.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing something. They're playing, you know. And, again, if you're doing a professional event, you know, people.
There's all the cost.
It's hard.
A lot of timing because they're like, when I put in events and sometimes, you know, I go, hey, you know, I get this wild hair up. I'm like, you know, like Ellie didn't know I was going to cook at her place. It's the timing thing. We all had to show up at a certain time.
Sure.
Same thing. If you show up at my house, it's like, you know, maybe this
is the 7 means to, you know, yeah, maybe we're pushing 7:30, but, you know, 8:30, something's wrong.
Well, it's like with our event last night, we had a start time at 7. We were going to wear costumes. It was going to be this fun little dinner party. We were going to start cooking at 7. And he calls me in the afternoon. He goes, well, I don't think we're going to make it 7. I says, you know, this is lax. This is laid back. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't wear costumes. I brought out all my costumes, and halfway through, I don't know what, our second bottle of wine, we went out and played dress up.
I mean, that's called appetizers.
Yeah, we played dress up. So, you know, you can take, if you're a host and if it's more of a casual thing, I think you make a good point. You can make it fun, and especially if communication happens. I mean, we took something that was, you know, it was a small setting, and two other people called and said they were coming. I didn't know that they were coming. And we made it
totally
fabulous.
Cool.
It was totally great because they did. They called, and we made it fabulous.
Love that.
Communication.
We came out all night long.
Oh, my God, it was awesome.
I was like, what do you want to make now?
Treat people as you would like to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, the old adage, and it's even more true in the holidays.
I totally agree.
To do that.
Totally agree. What about you? Oh, we did. We did.
Yeah, yours.
Hello. We just did yours.
We can do them again. They're wrapping up here. I think
they are wrapping up. We are almost finished here.
Don't we have? Is that another one or no?
I don't know. You can check and see if there's another one that they want us to try out here. And while you check that, I'm going to talk about
these fancy things.
Now they have wine charms. These are really cool. They've got these wine charms.
I'm going to put the magnet in the glass.
Okay. This is awesome.
Oh. I just put it in my wine.
This is a little itty bitty teeny magnet.
It's a little teeny itty.
And then you have this beautiful charm in the glass, and then the charm sits anywhere on the glass.
Isn't that a cool thing? That's such a good party trick.
Now, I chatted with her, and it looks like they may be at our event show on the 29th.
I love this party trick.
I just think it's fabulous.
We were saying, Elvie and I were saying, what if you accidentally swallowed the little tiny magnet on the inside? What would happen? It would go down your digestive tract, and you could actually track it.
We were wondering if we could track it with the little magnet charm. Yeah, that's how tested we are.
You have to see that one.
You'll have to come.
Is that a new person?
No, not quite.
Hi, swallow the magnet.
Well, Jason, you want to go find out about that, I'm going to tell them about our coming up this week. Looking for fun wine events, go to woodenvillewinecountry.com for your lowdown on what's happening in Woodenville and all of the tasting rooms. Coming into the holidays, you have the St. Nick Passport event that happens where we're wine tasting through dozens and dozens of the wineries around here. You have all of the concerts that are going on, the evening things. You have parties coming up. You've got events just like Leslie's where they had vendors come in. It's a great way to get together with friends, especially people you haven't seen in a long time. Or I like it for a first date night because you can meet somebody somewhere. And there's other things going on, so you don't feel the pressure of that one-on-one scenario. Planning ahead, we have our Socially Savvy event show on the 29th at Apex Tasting Room. We're going to be joined by Chef Kristen. She's going to be talking, we are going to be talking about Socially Savvy healthy holiday ideas.
Yes.
Eating, drinking, that kind of thing. And we have some other special guests who are going to be calling in, so we're pretty excited about that one.
Very exciting about that.
Okay, tell us about this last one.
All right. We are drinking now the Chateau St. Michel Canoe Ridge Estate 2009 Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, this is from Horse Heaven Hills.
Yes.
We've talked about Horse
Heaven Hills. The one we've been waiting for, apparently.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this. Okay. So Cabernet to me is, I call it the classic suit. I mean, you have a sport jacket on right now. You have a beautiful jacket. You have a jacket over, a tailored, structured jacket over, you know,
t-shirt.
Leggings and a T-shirt. And
skinny jeans.
And skinny jeans. That's what jeggings. That's what Cabernet Sauvignon is. It's this classically structured, you know, elegant Chanel suit as well as a comfortable, easy jacket over, you know, something casual.
It
so you can have all
up.
Sorts of styles of Cabernet Sauvignon, but it dresses everything up. It's structured. And that's what you get with this wine, which is... again, it has a beautiful tautness to it, a beautiful framework.
It has an unusual sweetness to it.
Yeah, unusual. Well, I think that's just the ripeness of the fruit speaking.
I love it.
But it's so balanced by the tannins and so balanced by the wood and the acid and everything is working together. It's like a well-built house, you know, it all works together.
That's what good Cabernet does.
Yes.
Very structured.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. I'm just loving. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, I want to have you on the show more. I love listening to your
descriptions
of the wine. It's amazing.
I can go from structure and tannins to, you know, making it look like a piece of your closet, you know.
Oh, I love it. Well, other events coming up Sunday, November 4th, Pumpkin Pie to New Year's Black Tie 2012. It's a dynamic, fun-filled, entertaining decor seminar presented by the premier party planner, Count Cody.
He is a fabulous man.
He is. He would inspire you as you learn.
He's a really fabulous guy. He's a real count.
Very creative.
He's a fabulous event.
Seriously? Real count?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he's actually been a co-host on the show before. Yes. He's doing this fabulous event at the Westin in Bellevue on November 4th. You can go online. We've got the link on Socially Savvy, so you can check out the event. I'm going to go because he's going to give you ideas from Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's, everything that happens through this whole holiday time period.
He does it within budget. He's
very budget structured. He's awesome.
He does some
awesome
stuff, and you're like, man, this must cost you a lot.
No.
I'll put it together. Here, check it out. Done.
Well, for all of our Socially Savvy fans, today we want to make sure that you like us on our Facebook page so you can be entered into drawings from our fabulous Savvy sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
We announce at the beginning of the month, so good luck and make sure you get your messages off to us for our Savvy sponsor. Tonight's Savvy sponsor is going to be Leslie Sibocco.
Thank you, and thirsty girl.
Thirsty girl.
Like us on Facebook.com/thirstygirl, too.
Yes, most definitely. Oh, and when is it? We're going to need to keep in contact with you to find out when the next Thirsty Girl event. I know I've been working with Sweet Lounge, and we've been to quite a few over there.
A nice couple events at Sweet, and we are going to be doing more. So I'll be in touch with you. I don't have any dates at the top of my head.
That's okay. I know.
But we'll be in touch if you go on to thirstygirl.com.
You can find out what's going on in your area.
Or on our Facebook page.
Because you're all over the nation.
We have
listeners in Virginia, in Washington, D.C.
We do.
Yeah, it's awesome. So check your local listing for Thirsty Girl to see what's going on. Okay, we want to thank our sponsors tonight, Chateau Saint Michel, Spazos and Redmond, Daniel's Brother, Bellevue Nordstrom Cosmetics, Cascade Ice, Kind Bars, Pop Chips, House Wines, and, of course, Leslie Sabroco and Thirsty Girl.
Yes, thank you.
Everybody have
me.
A socially
thank
savvy
you.
Week, and we look
See
forward to catching up with you next week.
And I still taste like garlic. I love it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.